Okay, well, we're going to look at the spiritual application in terms of what we can take away for ourselves as far as what the Feast of Tabernacles has to offer us in terms of our own daily walk with the Lord. First of all, going back to Leviticus chapter 23, just take a look at verses 39 and 40 for our starter here. Remember that Tabernacles is the only feast day that is spoken of as a time particularly of when Israel was to rejoice before the Lord their God. So somebody read verses 39 to 40 and we will be able to see that.
Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast on the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, burn to the palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days.
Okay, so that was a particular time that Israel was to rejoice, particularly before the Lord. Now, how often does Paul exhort the believer to rejoice in the Lord? Yeah, take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there. Verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. What does it say? Okay, and look at verse 5. What does that say?
Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at
hand. Okay, you see, Paul exhorts the believer that he should be able to rejoice always, right? And also, in keeping with that, he says that they should let their moderation, or the word moderation actually means patience. Okay, so the believer can be patient, he should be rejoicing always. And what's the reason that he gives at the end of verse 5? The Lord is at hand, right? For the believer, that's always true. The Lord is at hand. Now, or literally the word is near. Now, how near is the Lord to the believer? Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And how close is the Lord to us? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and
17.
He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. The Lord is as close to us as our spirit is, right? He's joined to our spirit, correct? And he basically said that also in verse 16, he makes reference that just like Adam and Eve were joined as one flesh, right? Eve was taken out of Adam, was literally of Adam's flesh, and therefore they were one flesh in a unity there. And so when we are saved, what? We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? And that Spirit is attached to our spirit, and we're one spirit in the Lord, right? Now, that ought to basically teach us something concerning, and Paul uses that identification basically. He's dealing with, in particularly in chapter 6 there, with the issue of fornication, right? And basically trying to teach the believers, basically, in terms of what proper behavior is, based upon who they're related to, who they are joined to, right? And that's a very powerful motivation. That's kind of the way, that's the whole essence of the teaching of grace, basically. It's all about learning our identification with Christ. Now, concerning the Feast of Tabernacles again, let's go back to Leviticus 23. Not only is it something that we can that we as believers can rejoice in because the Lord is actually attached to us, And therefore, we can have confidence all the time. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. This is even a more intimate association that we're going to read here. Leviticus 23, verses 42 and 43, what does it say?
Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
The Lord made them, the Israel, to dwell in booths. Of course, he commissioned Moses to build himself a booth, right? A tabernacle. The Lord literally tabernacled with his people. He was ever present and associate and in their midst, and there was no doubt that he was there. Take a look at Exodus chapter 13 again, and this is kind of all by way of review. Exodus 13, verses 20 through 22. And what does that say concerning Israel's wilderness journey? Okay, you see, now you remember what we said in the Hebrew, the word for tabernacles is the word Sukkot, right? They journeyed from where? From Sukkot. And basically, associated with that journey, his presence never left, right? They saw him in the pillar of fire by night, and they saw him in the cloud by day. He was ever present with his people. That is even more emphatic for us as members of the body of Christ when we return back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What does that say? The believer's body is spoken of as the temple of the Holy Spirit. These sin-cursed bodies, the Lord tabernacles here. I mean, that's arresting, okay? You know, the pastor talked last week. He was going, you know, he had the sermon on the glimpse of heaven, right? Remember that glory that was there in Revelation chapter 4, this glorious person, the Lord, sitting on that throne, that glory right here, right, for the believer. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, if you just actually allow your mind to focus on that, there are no words of how you would express that, okay? But nevertheless, that's true. Okay? The Lord actually is present right in us. Okay? Now, if you go on to verse 20, somebody read that, verse 20. Speaking about our bodies again.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
You know, the Lord purchased the believer, as you may say, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? He just didn't purchase a part of us. He purchased everything about us. Our body and our spirit. Every part of our being was purchased by the Lord. And when you speak of a price, okay, the word redemption, apolutrosis in the Greek, it basically speaks of a price. It's a payment, okay? When you redeem something, you buy it back, okay? What was the price for the Lord purchasing all of us? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. What does it say?
Yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you over see us defeat the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
So what's the purchase price? The blood of Christ, right? So that there isn't greater life and has no man that greater love is no man that he lays down his life for his friends, right? It says in John. And so the purchase price is his own blood, his very own life. He purchased basically all of us, not just our spirit, but our bodies as well. All of us belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit more about this indwelling, okay? What it actually means. Romans chapter 8. Somebody read verses 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. What does that say? You see, so basically in verse 9, he talks about the indwelling spirit, right? Of the Lord's spirit indwelling us. And then he speaks of that as Christ being in us. So Christ actually indwells the believer through his spirit. Okay? That's what the verses are saying. And if that be the case, he says, then you have to understand something. You have to understand that your body, therefore, is dead to sin, okay? And it's alive, what? Because of righteousness. Who lives in there? The righteous one, right? We have the Christ's very own righteousness. We have that as a possession. And therefore, if that be true, then it's God himself is able to use your body in a way that before it was never possible for it to be used. He's able to use it and bring forth fruit unto life, okay, as opposed to being just unto death, all right?
Doesn't there have to be a willingness to yield? I think there's a...
You're ahead of the game here. Wait. We're going right to that next passage there, okay? Now, as Ken was bringing out, how does that work for us, okay? Romans chapter 6. Also verses 9 through 11. So it's kind of harmony sometimes when you see that, you know, different chapter, same verses. Romans 6, verses 9 through 11, what does it say?
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, alive
unto
God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You see, Paul speaks of something that every believer should know. Basically, and it's basically this, that Christ didn't die a multiplicity of times. He died once, and that was it, to sin. Okay? And therefore, sin death has no more dominion because the death has been done. Right? You can't kill a guy more than once, right? he's dead. And then what happens? And that he died in verse 10, he died to sin once. And now that he lives unto God. And here in verse 11 comes the faith verse, okay? This requires a step of faith if it's to work in our lives, okay? The word reckon there is the word it means to trust. Okay, you need to trust that just as Christ died once on the sin, you have to reckon that as true of yourself. Okay? And that you have to see yourself the way the Father sees you, as alive unto him. Okay? Now, if you can see yourself that way, then you can do what he says in verse 13, what Ken was talking about, then you can yield. Okay? Your members as members, instruments of righteousness. But, you see, you can't get the cart before the horse. You can't yield before you first see yourself correctly. Okay? And that requires faith. Everything about you tells you that that's not true. But it takes faith and understanding what your position in the Lord to say that it is true. Okay? So, in the measure that we learn to see ourselves the way the Father sees us, that's the measure in which we're going to be able to yield. Okay? And actually glorify Him in our body and spirit as would please Him. Okay? But it all hinges on the fact that we see ourselves the way the Father sees us. You know, we don't get victorious by trying to do or observe things or put ourselves under some kind of a standard, and if we measure up this, no, we have to see ourselves as completely dead. We're dead to everything about us. We're dead to the world. We're dead to ourselves. And we're alive unto God because we are identified with the one who is alive right now, okay? And that's all about faith. It's all about trusting that fact, okay? And as we do that, then the Spirit that dwells in here, He's doing the battling for us, okay? He's fighting that old man, okay, and winning, okay? And that's a very important concept. Not very often talked about today, but who does the glory go to when we trust who we are identified with? The glory goes to the Lord. It doesn't go to us. Okay? And that's the way it should be concerning grace. Okay. Now, one last thing. The Feast of Tabernacles, remember last week we were talking about the times of refreshing, right? Israel was going to be totally changed in the millennium, right? And come into that full inheritance. Let's review that for a second and then see how that's also going to be true of us at a certain point. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he mentions the times of refreshing. Go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 13 to kind of see when that actually gets fulfilled. Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. Okay, and he talks about that Daniel will stand in his lot. That word lot is the word that means inheritance. He will stand in his inheritance in that day. Now, what was Israel's inheritance? What are they going to finally come into? In Ezekiel chapter 37, let's read it in verses 12 through 14. Ezekiel 37, verses 12 through 14. What does it say? So he's going to bring them into their land, but after he brings them up out of where? Out of their graves, right? They are going to enjoy fully their inheritance in resurrection. Okay? Ezekiel 37, verses 12 through 14. Israel will come into the full experience of that earthly inheritance through resurrection. Okay? That's when they come into the fullest experience of what it is that God ever prepared for them. And it's going to be no less true for us. Come over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. And I guess we'll close on that verse. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. What does Paul say there?
Where our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Okay, we're looking for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our citizenship is where? In heaven. That's where we're looking for him to come back, right? He's going to change our vile and glorious bodies like his body, and we go back. Okay? And we come into the fullness of that inheritance. Resurrection. Okay? So that's the way it is for Israel. That's the way it is for the body of Christ. Okay? And on that note, we end our series on the Levitical feast.